It's the NXT Show, starring Zim.
Welcome to the ProWrestling.net NXT Recap. I am Zach Zimmerman. Today we'll be going through the show that aired on July the 8th, 2015. Taped back on June the 18th at Phil Sale University, as well as a portion of this show being taped this past Saturday from Ryogoku Sumo Hall in Tokyo, Japan. I thought this was a pretty good show, actually a very good show, especially considering the fact that this show was kind of awkwardly placed this week and next week due to the fact that, you know, the big news in NXT obviously is that the new NXT champion is Finn Balor. But this set of tapings was split with that title change taking place right in the middle of this set of tapings airing. And so they're kind of having to edit things in. We're not getting the live crowd's reaction to Finn Balor or the result just yet. It's a little bit odd, but I think that they, you know, being in the position they're in, not having, you know, really any options, I think they did the best thing that they were able to do in essentially showing the match, I mean, almost in its entirety. They cut out a portion of the match, but showing virtually everything that you need to see in that match, and giving some good extra little follow-up that we haven't gotten to see anywhere else. And I thought they built a solid enough show around that to kind of make up for the fact that, you know, again, it's a little bit awkward considering, you know, just the timing and the placement of these tapings in the big title change. But before we jump into this week's show, you lucky freeloaders are getting 2 weeks in a row of NXT audio, just a little schedule kind of shake up here at .net. So giving you freeloaders 2 weeks in a row of NXT, which means that I once again have to point you in the direction of the homepage, ProWrestling.net. At the top of that homepage, you'll see that membership info link right there. I'll keep this short and sweet, but it's all the info you need, all the pricing and information you need right there. It's going to give you ad-free access to the website, which once you go ad-free, you're never going to want to go back. It's no pop-ups, no banners, no flashers, none of that. Just ad-free, all content, the whole site, all content, nothing but content. Including, as far as that content goes, a absurd amount of audio content that we bring you on a weekly basis. Lately, Jason's been going just crazy with some of the interviews. He's got Matt Morgan on, he just had for like an hour and a half just talking about his return to TNA, and obviously they went an hour and a half, so I'm sure they talked a bunch of other things. He just had that DJ though, DJ Z, aka Zima Ion. I'm struggling to think of the other ones he's had recently, but a whole bunch of them. And in addition to that, we've also got weekly reviews of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Impact, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, and any pay-per-views and or live specials that are airing. We got you covered from virtually every angle here at .net on the membership side of things. And not only do we give you audio shows, you know, specific to each show, but we also do separate shows. Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett get together for what they call the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. Just a fun discussion, weekly discussion on all the things in wrestling. Myself, Will Pruitt, and Will's wife, Chrissy Pruitt, get together for a fun little audio combination that we like to call Millennials with Attitude. We've got three millennials kind of picking apart the Attitude Era, going through it chronologically and just having a good time with it. We get a lot of laughs on that show, and feedback's been really positive so far. And, of course, the flagship broadcast is the .NET Weekly audio show, which is Jason Powell and a guest of his choosing this week. He chose me, guys. Isn't that special? He chose me. So I'm going to be joining Jason Powell on this week's .NET Weekly audio show, but that is just a discussion of all the news and events of the past week, just a discussion of all the current events in wrestling. So that's always chock full of news and information, and Jason usually likes to throw in a little bit of an insider's edge there that he's not really gonna let out many other places. So that's always a good newsworthy and info-packed listen. So yeah, ProWrestling.net membership, guys. Before I was a staffer, I was a very satisfied member for a good long time, and I recommend that you do the same. With that out of the way, let's jump right into this week's show. And, well, before I say that, I should probably have my tablet out in front of me. Okay. All right, so this show, like I mentioned, it was mostly taped at Full Sail, but they also showed us a recap of, well, a replay of the NXT Championship match between Finn Balor and Kevin Owens from Beast in the East. But oddly enough, before that, the way the show opened was a recap of Beast in the East with no mention of anything NXT related. Not a shot, not a soundbite, nothing. No Finn Balor, no Kevin Owens, no NXT Championship. Age just recapped Beast in the East as if that didn't happen. And then it was kind of capped off by, Brock Lesnar massacring Kofi Kingston. Then the opening video played. We came into the arena where the fans were chanting for NXT. Commentators hyped a couple things for the show, including, yes, Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens. They pretty much made it seem like they would be showing that match in its entirety here tonight, and they kind of did that. And they also hyped the Vaudevillains versus Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy in a number one contenders match to determine Blake and Murphy's next challengers for the tag titles. That would be the main event, but anyway, we came back into the arena where we got the opening match of the show. Dana Brooke and Emma came out, and for the first time, and I think well, this was one of the latter shows of this set of tapings, and Sasha missed the set of tapings before this, so I want to say that first time in maybe like a month and a half or so. I guess really since the last live special, right? Yeah, this is the first time since the last live special that Sasha Banks' music hit, and she came out. Crowd is very, very happy to see her. She, between the way things went here, just the level of work that Sasha's bringing, and the fact that, she's was kind of gone for a while, I think Sasha's kind of a de facto babyface now. I mean, at least they're not just swapping roles. At least there's some storyline shift to that, as we'll get into here. But yeah, Sasha was completely embraced by the crowd here. She was solo going into the ring with these two ladies and showed no intimidation. I it sounds kind of silly just mentioning in my live coverage that she made her full entrance, but it is worth noting due to the fact that she showed no intimidation. She did her thing as if she was going to do it against, one lady. She showed no sign of backing down from these two. And Dana grabbed a mic and said that looks like they were right. Sasha wasn't able to find a partner, and Sasha responded. She said, "Yeah, you're right. I couldn't find a partner, but I'm not gonna back down." I think she actually called Dana Brooke Miss Piggy. I didn't note that, but she threw some kind of insult at Dana and Emma. Said she's not gonna back down, and then she was getting ready to go at it alone when Charlotte's music hit, and she came down to the ring. Charlotte offered to be Sasha's partner and just added that, "But if I do this, Sasha, you owe me one." And the fans chanted, "Yes, yes, yes." Obviously, this crowd was around for the BFFs, and so they were happy to see this. First match of the show was the BFF reunion with Sasha Banks and Charlotte teaming up to take on Emma and Dana Brooke. Rekindled chemistry right away. Sasha and Charlotte were in control for the opening minute, working very well together, high fives, all that kind of stuff. But around the well, like I mentioned, at the 1 minute mark is where Emma rolled to ringside. There were some shenanigans. Heels took control and remained in control for the majority of the match. Until Sasha finally got the hot tag, and she came in, knocked him off the ring apron, did a big running double knee strike to Dana Brooke in the corner, and then a very short time later, Sasha hit the backstabber on Dana Brooke, floated over into the bank statement. Emma came into the ring to try to break it up, but Charlotte managed to sweep her down and lock in the figure eight. So there you had Emma in the figure eight, you had Dana Brooke in the bank statement, and both of the baby faces, I think, tapped out, or at least, well, the only one that mattered tapped out. Dana Brooke tapped out, and the baby faces won this one clean in about 4.5 minutes. Afterwards, we got the BFFs hugging. Well, they shook hands first, and then they pulled it into a hug, and then Charlotte took a microphone. She said, "Listen, woman, a deal's a deal. Next week, I want a shot at the NXT Women's Championship." Sasha said, "If that's what you want, it's on." And the commentators said that looks like we've got a title match, but one thing that I really like about NXT is this whole babyface authority figure thing. And they said that we will wait to hear from William Regal on whether or not that match is official for next week. But I enjoyed this segment. I mean, I'll get the one negative out of the way, is I think that it took a lot of the steam away from Emma and Dana Brooke, who they've, put a decent amount of effort into in the last month and a half. And, to have them just kind of come out and get kind of punked out in 4.5 minutes and just kind of rolled through. I mean, they're heels. They gotta take what's coming to them and make the baby faces look good when it's time. But I think that this was a little bit damaging to Emma and Dana. Not that they can't get it back, and I'm open-minded to where they go from here. But this just it wasn't great for them. But as for the baby faces, I mean, this was a good showcase for them. It was one step further towards babyface Sasha Banks, which I don't think I would, if I were in charge of NXT or if I were, advising, I don't think I would recommend that Sasha go babyface. I still think she's got some growing to do as a heel, really establish herself as the, I mean, she's, Sasha's probably the best in the world right now, if not, top two or three. But I think to really cement herself as the top, female wrestler in the world. I think she needs to work on that heel, just the her promo ability a little bit more. But doesn't look like she's gonna get that opportunity in anytime real soon. And obviously it builds to what is on paper always a good match in Sasha Banks versus Charlotte. Put the NXT Women's Championship on the line for next week, and yeah, thumbs up there. So decent opening segment there. I enjoyed that for what it was. We got Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens from Beast in the East hyped to be up next, but before we got that, we went to what I requested last week. So thanks to whoever gave it to us this week, was an injury update from Bayley. This was her at one of the live events. She was there in her hand cast. It's just up to her wrist. It's a broken hand. She just talked about how she's not able to compete because Emma broke her hand. Said she's been sitting backstage just watching everyone else live her dream because of Emma. Said the injury has given her time to collect her thoughts, and she's really motivated when she comes back. She wants to finally win that NXT Women's Championship. She recalled Triple H and Stone Cold coming back from injuries to find success and become champions, and she said she's going to do the exact same thing. Bayley said that Emma's first on her list when she comes back, and Emma's got more than a hug coming her way. Good. I mean, not a whole lot to say here. Just thumbs up for me. I asked for it last week. I got it this week. Bayley delivered well, and I like the you're gonna get more than a hug line because when the crowd chants Bayley's gonna hug you, it's fun and I get what they're going for. But certain times like this, Bayley's coming back from an injury. She needs to kind of turn that character into a little bit of another gear. And well, this was a little bit of that. So thumbs up there. We then got the hype video that would lead into the Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor title match from Beast in the East, and then indeed they aired that match in almost its entirety. They put a commercial break in the middle, kind of cut out a I don't know, maybe a 10-minute portion of the match they cut out of the middle, but they did show the the full entrance, the demon entrance, and God, I'm losing my train of thought here. The streamers, that's what I'm going for. The streamers and all that kind of stuff. So they captured the just how special that moment was. They captured Hideo Itami at ringside. Not gonna run through this match because I'm sure everybody who's listening to this saw the match, but obviously a very good match. Balor got to hit. The one thing I didn't quite like was Balor hitting the coup de grace at like halfway through this match. And I actually think that might have been cut out of I'm actually not sure. That might have been cut out of this edit, it might not have been, but I didn't like Balor hitting the coup de grace in the middle of the match. I thought they could have accomplished exactly what they accomplished without that. It just kind of weakened that finish a little bit for me. But otherwise a great match. We got to see Balor hit the actual Bloody Sunday for the first time. He's been doing the reverse version for a long time, that lifting reverse DDT and NXT, but we got to see the actual, lifting single underhook DDT that he does, for a good near fall. And then obviously, around the 20-minute mark, I didn't keep time of what this edit went on the NXT episode that aired, but the match itself went over 19 minutes, almost 20 minutes, with Finn Balor winning the NXT Championship from Kevin Owens via coup de grace. So yeah, obviously a very good match. I don't think that come the end of the year that this is necessarily going to fall into my match of the year, contender list. I just don't think it was quite there, but obviously an excellent match. Two thumbs up. Let's see, anything else I need to get into here? Yeah, I just noted my live coverage that I'm sure, I mean, Jason's been kind of hyping it up that when I've joined him on .NET Weekly today, later on today, that we are going to be, getting into a lot of NXT talk, a lot of Beast in the East talk, so, a lot more of that coming your way, and if you're a .NET member, you can tune into that. We went backstage where, oh, this was perfect, short and sweet and just awesome. Backstage, a roving reporter approached Kevin Owens and just asked, Kevin Owens, can we get a reaction coming out of your title loss? This was immediately following Kevin Owens' title loss backstage from Rigoku Sumo Hall. And Owens was just had his head hung. The roving reporter approached him and asked for a reaction. He just looked up slowly and just looked at that guy like, dude, get out of here. I am going to rip your goddamn head off. Then he shoved the camera down. And it ended, and I presume he ripped the roving reporter's goddamn head off. Stupid roving reporter. Who would do that? Who would do that? Like, maybe the only thing worse that you could do with Kevin Owens than shake his hand would be to ask him for a reaction after he just lost the thing that means the world to him, a second, I guess, only to his family. Like, my God, the guy's got a death wish, and Owens may have accommodated that. We went elsewhere, well, not elsewhere backstage, because Owens was backstage in Tokyo. Devon Taylor was backstage at the Performance Center. She went backstage, and she was standing by with Chad Gable, and she just asked, "Why does Jason Jordan keep turning you down?" Gable said that apparently Jason Jordan doesn't want to be successful. Apparently he wants to stay right where he's at on the totem pole of NXT, at the bottom. Gable said, "Well, it doesn't matter. When his time comes, he's going to be ready, willing, and Gable." Just then, actually as he delivered the Gable line, Jason Jordan said, "Gable!" And he approached him from behind, and he just kind of looked a little bit somber, looked like he was about to eat crow, looked Gable in the eyes, and he gave him the nod. He said, "It's on. Next week, you and me are going to tag." He shook Gable's hand. It kind of gave Gable a look like really, because Gable had the monogrammed towel draped over his arm, which he extended to shake Jason Jordan's hand. But nonetheless, he shook hands, and next week we will finally get Shoot Nation, or whatever they're going to call Gable and Jordan. They will make their debut next week. We went elsewhere backstage into a production area dubbed by Solomon Crow the Crow's Nest. He said that he's back nastier and meaner than ever, and he's ready to show everyone why he's NXT's resident little monster. How appropriate. Like, I don't know how far, like, I don't expect that we're gonna see, Brock Lesnar versus the little monster Solomon Crow at WrestleMania anytime down the line, but, like, you look at Solomon Crow, and, like, one of the first things that you would use to describe him, maybe troll-like, but I think DreamWorks actually has the rights to Troll because they're going to be putting out a Troll movie sometime next year. So I don't think they can call him the Troll Solomon Crow. So then instead they are going with the next best thing, the Little Monster Solomon Crow. And then just putting him backstage in the Crow's Nest gives me the indication that they're gonna do this whole hacker thing that they were teasing for a long time or doing around the live events, whatever that was. He may be screwing with the feed, cutting in to do promos or just screwing with guys he wants to have programs with. I don't know. It's gonna be really hit or miss. I'm open to the idea of it, but it's got the potential to be really kooky and not good. It's also got the potential to be a little bit of fun. So we'll see. We'll see where things go for the little monster. Actually, that wasn't the end of the Little Monster by any means in this show, because we came back into the arena and we got Marcus Louis making his way to the ring. My God, this man is disturbed. He gets no video wall, no music, still looks like 2003 Kane and 2015 Kane's gear, and he scratches at his face and he rubs his head and he kind of snarls and he looks around and he squeaks and he breathes heavily. He's so damn weird. Then the arena glitched out, and Solomon Crowe made his entrance for the third match of the night, Solomon Crowe versus Marcus Louis singles match. The commentators spent most of this match just putting over Solomon Crowe's little monster nickname, and they also took this match to announce that William Regal had made next week the NXT Women's Championship match between Sasha Banks and Charlotte official. So, awesome. I mean, not that there was any real doubt coming out of that opening segment, but I just enjoy the little touch of how it feels like there's actually some semblance of the authority figure kind of being the one to put things together in a way that makes sense. Anyway, as far as this match goes, this was standard kind of standard Solomon Crow squash in the sense of, like, he gets some offense in, but I think the heel dominates a little bit more than they should. Crow was in control early. Louis took control. And his offense was kind of just mostly built around a grounded abdominal stretch while Louis breathed heavily and squealed and screeched and did a bunch of weird stuff. Home stretch here, Crow fought out of that and hit a twist of fate, running dropkick to the leg, then locked in the crowbar, which is the stretch muffler, and Solomon Crow tapped out Marcus Louis in about 3.5 minutes. Again, standard Crow squash match in the sense of Crow didn't necessarily look as effective as he probably could have and should have. His opponent maybe looked a little bit better than he could have and should have, but looks like we're going to be getting a little bit of a resurgence from Solomon Crow, so we'll see where things go for the little monster. We got a old-timey vaudevillains promo airing. I didn't actually note much of this in my live coverage, unfortunately, but they were just essentially talking about how they're going to beat Enzo and Cass to become the number one contenders. We got Finn Balor shown backstage. This was kind of the rebut to Kevin Owens' murdering the roving reporter. This was Finn backstage immediately after coming through the curtain and winning his title, or shortly thereafter anyway. He shook Neville's hand, shook Cesaro's hand. John Cena came up and shook his hand, which was interesting that it was just before John Cena was to go out there for the main event because in the background you could hear Wade Barrett's theme music playing as he went out for the match. So, yeah, just a side note, what the F were they thinking putting on that tag match in the main event? Like, how on earth did they think that that match would follow Finn Balor and Kevin Owens? And even if they did, what the hell were those guys thinking during that match? Working a match, 20-plus minute match, maybe 30-minute match, built around heels beating on the baby faces in a slow, methodical manner with 2-minute chin lock segments. Like, what the hell? Do you have any idea? Are you completely out of touch with what Japanese wrestling is built around? Like, that is not it. That is not the way to hold a Japanese crowd. That is, hey, if you want to give the Japanese crowd the experience of a WWE house show, there you go. If you want to give them the experience of a little bit something special and this airing on the network, you know, being somewhat of a live special, this was not the thing to do. But anyway, I'm off topic here. Then we got what I really enjoyed was a quick little New Japan, after all their big matches, the competitors go immediately backstage to a press conference. Immediately. They walk backstage and they are on the set of a press conference where they have to sit down for whether it be 30 seconds or 5 minutes. They have to sit down and just answer a couple of basic questions from the press responding to that match, leading into what's going to be coming next, how they're reacting to that loss, how they feel about their performance, their opponent's performance. Gives it a really sports-like, effective big match feel. And they did this with Balor here. And it was short and sweet and effective. They just had him talking about how you couldn't script it any better. Him coming to Tokyo, the place he considers his second hometown, beating Kevin Owens to capture the NXT Championship. It's just an absolute dream come true. So that was that. Very good. We got a medical update for Sami Zayn hyped for next week's show. So cool. Came back into the arena for the main event where we got the Vaudevillains making their entrance. Enzo and Cass out next. I actually like this. Enzo did the usual stick, but when Cassidy grabbed the mic to close things out, he was not the usual Colin Cassidy. He was way more serious than usual. He just said that this right here, this is for the number one contendership to the NXT Tag Team Championships. It's do or die, put your dukes up, boys. Like, that's so effective and exactly what was needed right here. Good touch from Cassidy, giving this, leaving out the soft silliness and showing me for the first time that, like, hey, this is a tag team that actually cares about something other than getting in their catchphrases. This is a tag team that maybe has a little bit of direction. So we got the main event of the show. Fourth match was for the number one contendership to the NXT Tag Team Championships, the Vaudevillains versus Enzo and Cass. We got Enzo and Cass in control until the final match of the break, at which point we got the Vaudevillains kind of taking control of English from there. And it was really just the Vaudevillains isolating. I'm sorry, did I say English? I'm sorry. We got the Vaudevillains isolating Enzo for the majority of the match there, kind of as you would expect. Enzo being the weak link of this match, just from a storyline perspective. Enzo finally showed some signs of life, managed to reach Cass for the hot tag around the 6 minute mark or so. Cassidy knocked Gotch off the ring apron, and then, or actually, I think he threw him out of the ring, and then he hit a stinger splash and a big slam on Aiden English. Looked to finish things up. I typed Cassidy in my autocorrect on my laptop, turned it into casually. So Cassidy casually almost got rolled up after he did his SAWFT bit. Looking for that elbow drop he does. But then he recovered, planted English with a huge slam, then looked to finish things off with the rocket launcher. But that did not end up happening. Enzo went up to the top rope. Gotch pulled Cassidy to ringside. English dove off. I'm sorry. Enzo dove off the top rope anyway with the diving crossbody, and English managed to roll through, cradle Enzo, and score the pinfall for his team. Did not hook the trunks. Just well, not trunks. Enzo sure as hell does not wear trunks. Did not hook the ring gear, whatever you Enzo is wearing. I think they're Zubaz, but whatever the hell Enzo is wearing did not get hooked. It was just a straight up cradle. So the Vaudevillains over Enzo and Cass in a little over 7 minutes to become the number one contenders to the tag team championships. Show closed with the Vaudevillains celebrating, and Enzo and Cass and Carmella were not happy in the ring. I mean, they weren't like bickering or anything like that. They were just bummed out. Obviously, they lost a big match. So, as I noted in my coverage, by NXT standards, as far as their tag division goes, this was a good match. By standard tag division or by standard tag team standards, this was just, basic and competent tag match. That said, I do like the tone that both teams brought to this match with the pre-match promos from the Vaudevillains and then the immediately pre-match promo from Enzo and Cass. I just thought it brought a little bit more of a legitimate feel to the essentially non-existent tag division. Just kind of does a little bit to boost that. It gives a little bit of credibility. So, slightly above mediocre match in terms of just what you would expect from a main event. But yeah, I mean it wasn't a main event caliber match, but it was I guess better than what we get most of the time from this tag division. But overall, I did enjoy this show. The number one contendership again for being in the tag team division. It was what it was. I enjoyed the opening segment. It was a decent showcase for the ladies. It was a good way to build to what I expect will be a very good match next week in the women's championship match between Sasha Banks and Charlotte. Thought again, Emma and Dana Brooke lost a little bit of steam, but I think they can get that back without too much trouble. And then the recap of Solomon Crowe reestablished here. It was what it was. And then the recap and replay of the Beast in the East match between Balor and Owens. And then I really enjoyed the little bit of fallout we got there. They were both just maybe 30-second little clips, maybe a minute as far as Balor's goes, but they were super effective in just kind of progressing things and in getting over the title change immediately. So yeah, thumbs up on this show for me. I thought it was easy to watch, and especially for falling as awkwardly as it did with the title match and this week and next week falling, being in the can before that match took place. I think they're doing an effective job of making up for that. So yeah, that's that. You guys will be hearing more of me if you are .NET members on this week's .NET Weekly audio show with Jason Powell. If not, I am sure I will be talking to you at some point down the road. Regardless, take care.